This morning, I just want to speak to someone. What do I want to do this morning? I just want to speak to someone. So if it was just only you, that'll make my day. I want to speak to somebody who feels like the song Rose talked about. You see, there is two ways of being in a storm. The particular kind of somebody I want to speak to is somebody walking through a storm, and you've been yelling and crying and screaming for help, and it feels like nobody's listening. Is anybody like that? All right. The three of us, let's go outside and let leave the rest of them in here. I want to speak to somebody who feels like they're walking through a storm and they're screaming for help and nobody's coming for help. Nobody's listening. You've been trying hard, and the harder you try, the more wearisome and exhausting it becomes, and you just feel like you are barely treading water. I want to speak to somebody who feels like if nothing changes, I'm going to just give up. I want to speak to somebody who feels if nothing breaks, I think I'm going to break. I want to speak to somebody who feels if the lifeboat doesn't come by, I'm just going to sink today. I want to speak to somebody who's just hanging on to the thread and just hoping somebody throw me a rope. I want to speak to somebody. If it's nobody, I'll speak to myself. Because I can use a little bit of encouragement. I want to read an account from the book of Mark, chapter 6. This is the account or the story after Jesus had fed the 5,000 men. It was a very glorious day, incredible miracles, the miracle of increase and multiplication. We'll start from verse 45. Though 45, it is just to give you a pretext or context of where we are coming from. But those of you that plan to be here on Friday night, remind me to talk to you about verse 45. Today, I'll just read it. I may talk to you about 45 when? Friday. That is if you remind me. So verse 45, I think this is the Passion Translation, says, after everyone had their meal, after how many? Everyone. After everyone had their meal, Jesus instructed his disciples to get into the boat and head on the boat and go ahead of him and sail to the other side of the other side to Bethsaida. Okay, where were they sailing to? Bethsaida. The other side to Bethsaida. Okay, you getting the picture? So there will be a quick quiz at the end there to help, to see if you remember. So he got them in the boat so they could sail across and go where? To the other side. Okay? The other side to a town called Bethsaida. So they were not just sailing aimlessly. They had the bearing, they had the heading, they had a place they intended to land to. They had a place in mind they wanted to get to. So it was not just sailing across to go to the other side. They were sailing to go to the other side to a particular place. Okay? What is the name of that particular place? Thank you. So he disappeared. So he dispersed the crowd, said goodbye to his disciples, then slipped away to pray on a mountain. Okay, so there's a lot we can say about that, Dion, but we're going to talk about it when? When you do what? Okay, that's good. So, it says, as night fell, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. The whirlwind was against the disciples. You hear that? The whirlwind was against the disciples. Sometimes we read that the whirlwind was on the sea. Yes, it was on the sea, but it was particularly, in particular, against the disciples. Now, listen to the good news. And he could see. The whirlwind was against the disciples, and he could see that they were in trouble. He could see. Said you never. Nothing ever happens to me that he never sees. Say to the other neighbor, nothing ever happens to me that he does not see. The wind was against the disciples, and he could see that they were straining the oars and trying to make headway. I like the New Living Translation. It says, he saw that they were in serious trouble. Right? Not the small size trouble. Not the medium size. This trouble they were in was the extra large trouble. They were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. Here's some comforting news. So when Jesus told these 12 men to get in the boat and go ahead of them, he was not asking them to do something they were not familiar with. These men were fishermen. These men were seasoned boatmen, sailors. These men worked on this sea for a living. These men knew this sea very well. And they were going to a place called, and one of the disciples called Philip, that is his hometown. Bethsaida is Philip's hometown. So there is no way they should have any trouble making it to Bethsaida. Is anybody following? So they knew their ways around the sea. They had the skill and the craft to man the boat, and they also knew where they were going. And in sending them ahead, Jesus probably, they understood where he was going to meet them. At Philip's house. Are you following? So he's not kind of being unreasonable, asking them to do the impossible. But however, the storms came against them and they were in serious trouble. That's not the message. I'm just painting a picture for you to understand where we're heading with this thing. How much trouble were they in? How much trouble are you in? Those of you with your small size problems, just take a breather, go have a coffee. I'll talk to those ones with some serious trouble. Okay, are you with me? And it gives you the time of the day. It was almost morning. Okay, just get this picture. What meal did Jesus feed the 5,000 people? He fed them dinner because we know it was just before nightfall. Are you following? So just before nightfall, he dispersed the crowd and he went to pray. When did he send them across the sea? Just before nightfall. And this is 3 a.m. in the morning. They're still on the sea. Some of you, your Bible says that on the fourth watch. Is that what you say? Okay. So that kind of gives you an idea what language they are thinking in. Because the Jewish time had three watches. It is the Roman time that had four watches. So, you know they're speaking Roman. They're speaking Italian like Mark. Okay? Interesting. The first watch is from sundown, which is 6 to about 9. That's your first watch. Your second watch is from 9 to 12. And the third watch is 12 to 3. And the fourth watch is 3 to 6. Okay, so when we say during the fourth watch, we can safely assume it could be anywhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. I'm saying that to help you understand for how long these guys were battling the sea. Come on. I'm trying to show you that they have been struggling for a very, very, very long time. And Jesus is I don't know whether you think you can give them a couple more hours. He could say. So just in case, like I said, I want to talk to somebody who's been going through stuff and you feel like nobody's seeing. I guarantee you, he is. And actually, he's standing on a very good vantage point where he's got a very good and obstructed view of whatever that is. Okay. Now, what happens if you are on the sea and you're being buffeted by the waves and you decide to give up? What happens? Okay, let's just read on. It was almost morning. Jesus came to them. Are you listening? It was almost morning. Jesus came to them, walking on the surface of the water. He started to pass by them. I don't know if anybody just listened. He saw them in trouble. He didn't come to them. He just went past. He went past. He went past. That shocked even Peter, because if it was Jesus walking, he would come to them, not past them. He must be a ghost. Because Jesus wouldn't do that. The New Living Translation says, he intended to pass by them. Some translators have got difficulties translating that. So they say, he made it like he was going past. That's a misinterpretation. He didn't make it like. He was actually... They've been battling this storm for the whole night. And they're just about in a place where they think they're going to die. Something's going to happen. And the Savior just went past. Ore mande. Help somebody. Can I? When the storms are coming against you, when the storms are threatening to sink you, when the Savior comes, he doesn't come to your boat, he goes to your storm. Hey! The trouble was not in the boat. Why do you want him in the boat? The trouble is out there, so he goes where the trouble is. He passes by so he can meet the storm head on. He passes by. He passes by to deal with the storm. When it feels like he's passing you by, when it feels like he's not answering you, when it feels like you can't sense his presence, it's because he's busy dealing with your stuff. Hey. Where do you want him? In your stuff or at your stuff? Are you ready for more?
Yes.
Oh, Monday. Rebase. You see, when he passed by, what did he do? Pass by. What did he do? Pass by. He is enacting, he is living, he is performing. Exodus chapter 3, verse 19, and I will pass. And I will pass. Moses said, show me your glory. And he says, I will. This is what, that is, oh, come. Here's Exodus 33. We'll start from 19. Because Moses said, show me your glory. And the Lord replied, I will make my goodness. I will make my goodness to do what? I will make my goodness to. And Jesus was. Let me try these people. I will make my goodness do what? And Jesus was doing what? So when he passes by, he passes by with one intent in mind to show you his backside. Because his backside. That's what he said. He intended them to see what? When you are in trouble, all you need to see is. Because on his backside, there is his. There is his goodness. Do I have to read the whole thing? Okay. The Lord replied, I'll make my goodness to pass by you. Listen. There's two things I want you to remember here. Number one, I'll make my goodness to pass by you. Number two, and I will call out my name. Two things happening. One, I will pass by. I'd cause my goodness to pass by you. And as I pass by, I will call out my own name. You following? As I pass by, I'll do what? Who will call his name? Who will call out his name? Who? God will call out his name. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one can see my face and live. Amen. The Lord continued. Okay, pay attention. The Lord continued. He says, look. Are you looking?
Yes.
Look. Stand near me. Okay? Where are you standing? Stand near me. Look, stand near me. Near me. On this rock. Stand near me. So here. And that means near me there is this rock. Following? Okay. It's very good. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my own hand. Until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see my behind. I will let you see me from behind. Okay? This is, now, let's put the whole thing together. Moses, you've asked to see my glory. I will show you my glory. I will pass by you. Sweetie, give me it. Quickly, 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 quickly. Okay? Are you following? She's going to be our Moses. All right? Come. She's going to be God.
Church.
Hey, God. So he's saying, Moses, I will pass by you. And when I pass by you, you're going to see my glory. But as I help, close your mouth. I do the talking. As I pass by, you can stand by me. And by me, there is a rock. So that means you are standing by him on a rock which should be where? By him. Following? But as I pass by, you can't see my face, so I will hide you in the rock. So you are on the rock, but now in the rock, which is by me, and I'll pass by. Well, all the same, you are standing by me while I pass by you. Are you following? You are standing by me on a rock, by me, and I'll pass by you while you are standing by me. And then as I pass by you, I'll hide you in the rock, and I'll cover your face with my hands while I pass by you. This is only possible if it's three of them. Come, sweetie. Come. You never saw the Trinity before. So that means by him is Christ, the solid rock on which we stand. By him is the rock on which we stand. But as I pass by you, you will not live unless you are inside there. We are in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Behold, if any man is in, not on, but in, he is a new creation. Because he's a new creation, he's not subject to the laws of the old covenant. He can see and live to tell. Making sense? So you're going to stand next to me, and by me there is a rock you can stand in, and you can be in the rock. Because the rock is in you, and you are in the rock, and you and the rock are one. And if anybody sees the rock, sees you, and if they see you, they see him. And as you are in the rock, I can cover your face so I can walk. Oh, it's Moses we're covering. Who is in the rock? Come on. Come on, Moses, stay in the rock. So, he is in the crevice of the rock as he covers his face as he walks past. And when he gets on this side, then you remove the hand so you can see glorious behind. Give them a big hand. So as they were in serious trouble because of the storm, he intended to pass by. So that as he passed by, they could see his track record. They could see his works. They could see his wonders. They could see his mercy. They could see his love. They could see his kindness. They could see his miracles. This is confusing when you approach it from a Greek mindset, which we have in the Western way of thinking. Because in our Greek mind way of thinking, we are more absorbed on method. In the Hebrew way of thinking, they are concerned about function. So they are not trying to work it out how it works. They are trying to appreciate what it is and what it does. Does that make sense? What are we trying to understand? Function. The method, who cares? Does that make sense? So, what is his hand when you look at function and not method? It speaks about his works. What is his back? When it comes to function, what is behind him? What is done? What lays behind, not ahead? That's the track record. That's the testimony. That is what he's done. Because it is his track record. It is his testimony. It is what he's done in you, for you, by you, and through you that will give you confidence for whatever lies ahead. It is a sense of where we've been. It is a sense of where he's taken us from. It's a sense of what he's taken us through that gives us courage for what he's taking us to and what we can be in through. Are you understanding? So may I just encourage, speak once again. It may not appear that he's coming to your boat, but he is heading for your storm. It may not appear that he's addressing your situation, but he is busy addressing and dealing with your situation. Like we're saying, faith is having confidence that whatever we've asked God for, he is busy working out the answer. It may take a day to work out the answer. It may take a week to work out the answer. It may take a month to work out the answer. It may take a year to work out the answer. But one thing for sure and for certain is that he is working out the answer. No longer how long, no matter how long it takes, he is working out the answer. If we are confident in whom we have followed, if we are confident in whom we've committed our lives to, if we are confident in whom we've given our lives to, that should give us peace to remain calm even in the storm. In knowing that he that has started the good work in you, he is faithful. And because he's faithful, he will definitely accomplish the good work. He will definitely finish the good work that he has started in you. scripture says, then he came closer and climbed into the boat with them, and immediately the storm and the winds were still. Why? Because he dealt with it before he came in the boat. He dealt with the storms, and they were completely and utterly, now this is the next part you can understand, and they were completely and utterly overwhelmed and astonished because they failed to learn the lesson of the miracle of the loaves. Did anybody get this? Why are we talking about loaves again? I think somebody missed it. When did this loaves thing happen? Near a day ago. Twelve hours later, they are tossing and being beat up on the sea because their hearts were hardened because they didn't understand the miracle of the loaves. Did anybody ever pick up that? They were completely and utterly overwhelmed and astonished because they failed to learn the lesson of the miracle of their loaves, and their hearts were unwilling to learn a lesson. Their hearts, some scripture says, because they did not understand the miracles of the loaves, their hearts were hardened, that they failed to believe. I think we had a great day. We fed 5,000 people. Not with these guys. Their hearts were... Why? And probably, side point, we see miracles every Sunday. And yet some people never change. Some people never change the way of thinking. So miracles don't always win the crowd. So when they went across the lake, where were they called to go? Where were they called to go? The scripture says, and they landed at Gennesaret. Nowhere near Bethsaida. They landed where? They landed at Gennesaret. It's easy when you're walking through a storm to lose focus of where you are meant to be headed. It is easy when we are going through difficulties, when we are going through challenges, when we are going through painful things, to lose focus and end up in an entirely different place altogether. When we are so preoccupied with the cares and the pressures of things around us, it's easy to move our focus from the mark and drift to somewhere else. How could Philip miss the way to his own house? Because his heart was hardened and burdened because he never understood the miracle. It will not be the first time they have been through this kind of winds. They are fishermen. This would not be the first time. The only difference this time, their hearts are hardened and offended. Because they failed to learn the lesson. See, lessons are for learning. Sounds very profound, right? Lessons are for learning. Some of us may learn by discussion. Some of us may learn by debate. Some of us may learn by expressing opinions. But if all we did was debate, argue, oppress an opinion, and never learnt anything, then we've missed the point. They find themselves in Gennesaret. Okay? Work it this way. This is the Sea of Galilee. They are here where the miracle of the loaves happening. They go across to Bethsaida and they find themselves to Gennesaret, Capernaum over there, over there. And they're over there. Okay, enough talking. Anybody getting the point here? Are we off course because we are distracted by things we are going through? Are we where we need to be in our hearts? Are we where we need to be in our minds? Are we where we need to be in our spirit? Are we so sidetracked with offense that we fail to pay attention to where we are going? Are we so sidetracked with issues and things that we fail to maintain the bearing of where we should be? He's a good Savior. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It may appear like he's walking past. That's because he's got business to take care of on your behalf. And he says, Exodus 33, can I give you this bit? That when my glory passes by, what am I going to do? I'll call out my name. This is awesome. Pay attention. When it was almost morning, Jesus came to them, walking on the surface of the water, and he started to pass by them. When they saw him walking on the waves, they thought he was a ghost and screamed out. I didn't think anybody who was already as scared as they were would get any more scared. Can you imagine that? They were terrified. Apparently, there were still more levels to get more terrified. They screamed out in terror, but he said to them at once, "Don't yield to fear. Take courage. It's really me. I am." He just quoted Exodus 3:14. What was the condition of passing by? Call out my name. And when they screamed, he said, "I am." Whatever you are going through, he says, "I am." Whatever you're experiencing, he says, "I am." Whatever you are facing, he says, "I am." Whatever you are walking in or out of, he says, "I am." In whatever, in everything, he is. Because whenever he passes by, you will know he is I am. How was Moses saying, "Who shall I say that I sent me to you?" He says, "Go tell them, I am. I've seen their suffering, therefore I am the solution. I've seen the pain, I am their healing. I've seen their bondage, I am the deliverer. I've seen their hopelessness. I am their hope." What is it we want him to be for us today? What can he be for you in what you're walking through? What can he be for you in what you're experiencing? What can he be for you in what is coming against you? You see, if the winds and the waves are coming against you, for him to walk past you, he has to walk through the wings that are coming against you. It was that simple. And he even shows you a better place where you can stand by him, on him, in him, with him, in glory.